Psalm 137. For the month of November, we will consider the theme of Know the Lord Who Restores His People. And this morning, as we consider the Psalms that we read over the last week, we will think about longing for home in a foreign land. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Eden, the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. Psalm 137 is written from the perspective of the people of God as they were living in Babylon, experiencing the Babylonian captivity, and they are weeping. They are weeping because they are in a foreign land and they have been asked by the Babylonians to sing. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And so they weep as they think about where they are and who they are and where they might be, where they had been. And the question they ask in verse 4 is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? As the psalmist is experiencing the captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah is experiencing it in the book of Lamentations in Jerusalem itself. And as he considers what the Babylonians have done as a result of the sin of God's people, how the Lord Himself has afflicted them and brought about this punishment because of their rebellion. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3 verses 48 and 49, My eyes overflow with rivers of water. My eyes flow and do not cease. Why do you weep? What makes you sad and brings tears of sorrow to your eyes? Last week, as we considered the person and the work of Jesus within our October theme of Know the Lord Who Chastens, we concluded that series by thinking about Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, in which the chastisement for our peace fell upon Him. And as a result of Him receiving our punishment, the Prince of Peace has brought about a covenant of peace wherein we can be at peace with God and have peace within and be at peace with one another. In the same description of Jesus, He is described in chapter 53, verse 3, as a man of sorrows. And in Luke 19, verse 41, as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem during what we commonly refer to as the last week, He weeps over the same city that Jeremiah lamented some 600 years earlier. Because Jesus understood that what happened in the past was going to happen in the immediate future. For the same reasons. They had not received instruction. They had not received correction. They had not received discipline. They had murdered every prophet that God had sent them. And they were about to murder the Son of God. When you think of your experience in life under the sun, why do you weep? Let's turn our attention to Psalm 126. In Psalm 137, the people of God are lamenting the fact that they are in a foreign land when they remember home and they remember their place. They remember their God. In Psalm 126, we read these words. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In Psalm 137, we ask the question, why do you weep? In Psalm 126, we ask the question, for what do you dream? In the quiet moments of your life when you are left to think your thoughts and to meditate upon the things that matter to you, where does your mind go? What do you dream about? God had told His people over and over again that captivity was coming. And through the prophet Jeremiah, He communicated to them that their captivity was going to last 70 years, but at the end of that 70 years, God was going to bring them back. And there was just a faithful few folks who actually believed that. The majority of the people who heard that message, they did not believe that they were going to Babylon. In their hearts, they couldn't imagine that God would reject them to that extent, that He would afflict them to that degree, that He would punish them so severely. And so Jeremiah would encourage them that, yes, God was going to afflict, yes, God was going to punish, and yes, it was going to last 70 years, but at the end of it, God was going to bring them back. And so there was a remnant in Babylon from the time of Daniel to the time of Cyrus who dreamed of getting out of the foreign land in which they were living, who dreamed of going home. And when God made it so, it was literally like a dream come true. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And I want you to appreciate the fact this morning that in Psalm 126, verse 1, rather, that the word when is used. As we think about where we are in Christ Jesus, and when we think about what God has promised us through not a prophet, but through His only begotten Son, the promises that we have in Christ, it's just a matter of timing. In Matthew 25, verse 41, when the Son of Man comes, God had more in store for the remnant than punishment. The point of God's chastening was always to bless. For this says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. For what do you dream? The same God has promised us through Jesus. That the Lord Jesus will return. That He has gone to prepare a place for us, and that when He returns, it will be so that we might always be with the Lord. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. In Psalm 137, we ask, why do you weep? In Psalm 126, we ask, for what do you dream? In Psalm 42, we ask, for what do you long? Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 137, we are weeping because we are in a foreign land. Psalm 126, we are dreaming of going home. In Psalm 42, we are longing, not just for the city itself, not just for the land itself, but for the Creator of the land, for the giver of the city of God, the place where God chose to place His name, the place where God chose to dwell. And the psalmist, as he is experiencing a foreign land, away from the temple, away from the feast and the festivals, away from God and His people, he longs for God Himself. Sin will do that to us. It will cause us to be dry and dead spiritually. And so in Ezekiel 37 verse 14, we have this great image in which God says to Ezekiel in this valley of dry bones, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says in response, Lord, you know. And then God shows him this great scene in which God gives life back. Restoration of life. Resurrection. And God communicates to Ezekiel and to us that yes, the giver of life can and is able and is willing to restore. For what do you long? We all long for life, and not just life, but abundant life. And so as we consider the world in which we live, we groan because the world in which we live as a result of being under the curse of sin is not a fit dwelling place for abundance. This world is not our home. We are sojourners and pilgrims in a foreign land, and we know it, and we groan. We look at the world in which we live, and we know that things are not what God intended them to be. And as a result, we are poor in spirit, and as a result, we mourn, and as a result, we are meek, and as a result, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Jesus says of us, as our elder brother and as our Lord and Savior, blessed. Blessed are you, because you understand that things have gone awry as a result of sin. The sufferings of the present time prompt us to long for something better. For what do you long? Psalm 53. In Psalm 42, the psalmist is longing for God. In Psalm 53, the fool is saying in his heart, there is no God. In Psalm 42, the experience of the psalmist is, things are not going well. There is weeping, and there is dreaming, and there is longing, but there is not yet restoration and life and blessing. And so because those things have not yet happened in Psalm 42, there are people around the psalmist who are saying to him, where is your God? In Psalm 53, the fool is saying in his heart, there is no God. And the Spirit says, those who say such things are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity, and there is none who does good. And God is aware of all of it. He looks down from heaven upon the children of men, and He looks down to see in the midst of all the foolishness, if there are any who understand to seek God. And so what He sees is that everyone has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear, where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. And then there is the cry of verse 6. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of His people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Why do you weep? For what do you dream? For what do you long? Isaiah 53 verse 6, salvation will come. It is not a matter of power. It is a matter of timing. In His time, when the Son of Man is revealed from heaven, salvation will come out of Zion when King Jesus delivers us to the Father. Then the end will come, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. When the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. And when the Lord Jesus comes and delivers the kingdom to the Father, then we will have the fulfillment of Jerusalem itself. When the restoration of all things, Acts 3 verse 22, is complete, then what we will have is a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. Why do you weep? For what do you dream? And for what do you long? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Salvation will come out of Zion when King Jesus delivers us to the Father, and then this is going to happen. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be. Not yet, but there shall be. Between the already and the not yet, there's death. There's sorrow. There's crying. And there's pain. Why do you weep? For what do you dream? For what do you long? There shall be no more death. There shall be no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have. Not yet. But they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As we consider all of this together, and as we move from October into November, as the Lord wills, with the time that He blesses us with, and as we think about the Lord who chastens and the Lord who restores His people, I want to encourage you this month as we read these texts together and as we consider these lessons about our great God and as we see Jesus in the Old Testament and as we strive to long, as we strive to draw near to God, that we need this month to think about how we ought to be longing for home. All of the types and the shadows in the Old Testament find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, but there are some promises that we have not yet received. When the Son of Man comes again, then the kingdom will be delivered to the Father. Then we will experience the New Jerusalem. Then the former things will pass away, and behold, all things will be new. And so, in the meantime, we need to be longing for home, because home is where our Father is, home is where our elder brother is, and home is where we belong. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. And the response of the apostle who was blessed to write these things said, Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so in the midst of all of that destruction, The weeping prophet Jeremiah, when Jesus came on the scene and he began preaching the good news of the kingdom, there were some who thought that it was Jeremiah. They thought that this man of sorrows was Jeremiah himself, resurrected. In Lamentations, Jeremiah is weeping. He is longing. He is dreaming. And in the midst of all of that, he remembers God. And he remembers the person of God and the nature of God and the heart of God. And so, in the midst of this lamenting of the present, there is a longing for the future and there is a call to wait on the Lord and to wait in hope. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In time, as disciples of the man of sorrows, we, like him, we sow in tears. But like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, we endure. And we wait in hope that all things that cause us to weep and to hurt and to suffer are going to be no more. And so we wait. But we wait in hope. And because we wait in hope, we sing. And so let's all stand together now as we sing a song that speaks to the longing of our heart, that when this land of parting is no more, we will inherit the summer land of bliss. Amen. While we sing.